Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
With the Golden Voice, Ted Williams, Scott Spears coming at you here on a Wednesday morning, midweek, Wednesday, July the 19th, 2023, 18 minutes past the hour, 68 degrees, and sunny skies here in the Marion area, 68 degrees and sunny skies. You can't go wrong there. Here we are on another rip-roaring day, another big Wednesday. The week just rolling right by here on WGH Talk. Now, yesterday morning, we had a lot of interesting conversation, and I appreciate when people call in and we can have interesting and entertaining conversation. We talked a lot yesterday about quite a few different subjects and different things, and then in hour number two, we did Family Feud, which was a lot of fun. And we're going to continue that, and I'm going to tell you why in just a second, because we have some big things coming up next week. So we've kind of got to get in practice, and I'm going to ask your opinion on some things that we have going on next week that I learned about yesterday. But let's start right off the top here. Yesterday we were talking about horticulture and tomato plants. One of our friends out there, one of our listeners called in yesterday, and said that she was having trouble with her tomato plants, that they were growing and they were green, but there were no sprouts on the tomato plants. And then we got some pictures from our friend out there, Mary, who was showing me pictures of her tomato plant. She had two different types of tomato plants, and they seemed to be sprouting little green tomatoes. And I don't know what it is, but I'm having the same problem as our caller yesterday, that the plants are growing and the plants are healthy, and I have three different types of tomato plants out there. They're not dying, but no tomatoes are sprouting. And it's kind of strange to be this late in July and nothing is sprouting, even though the plants continue to grow. And I also said, with the daylilies in my yard, I have had the strangest year with the daylilies. Because normally what has happened the previous 8 years, 8 summers that I have lived here, is that sometime in mid to late June, the daylilies will bloom, and then there'll be a big storm, and it'll blow the petals off, and that'll be that. And that usually happens somewhere in middle July. Well, this year, the daylilies did not even start to bloom until after July the 4th, and they still have not all fully bloomed, and here we are July the 19th, and some of them are even, I'm not sure if they're dying or if they are just going back in unblooming. I'm not even sure what the term for that would be. I guess before I become a gardener in retirement, I probably should learn what that term is. But it seems like some of the daylilies are even closing back up that have opened. I go out there, and I have three bushes of them. And I was looking at them last night, and I think fewer were open yesterday than were open on Sunday. So I don't know if it has anything to do with the weather. I don't know if it has anything to do with the overcast problems we've had with the climate, with the Canadian wildfires. I really don't know what's going on. And it has made for a weird year in gardening, that's for sure. So if anybody has anything to say about that, give me a buzz right off the top here, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. I really don't know what that is all about. Now, the water issue seems to be fine, because the grass is growing just fine. And as I say, nothing seems to be dying. No plants or flowers are dying. they just don't seem to be springing up like they once did. You know, when I did this 2 years ago, we hardly had any problems at all, even though they didn't grow as great. Go ahead, caller.
Well, Scott, have you tried talking to the tomato plants?
Well, I don't know. What would I say to them?
I don't know, but don't they say talk to your plant?
Yeah, I've heard that you're supposed to talk to the plants. I don't know. Do you, like, ask them how their day is? I'm not sure what you do.
Yeah, just sit out. Well, I guess they're on your porch or sit out there. Or if you can sing, you could sing to them. Maybe they'd rather be have you sing.
Oh, like a lullaby or something?
Yeah.
Oh.
Try both.
Now, have you ever talked to and or sang to your plants?
No, I don't hardly ever have plants, no.
Well, I just don't know what's going on. It's the strangest thing, because as I said, 2 years ago when I tried this, even though the tomato plants failed, they did produce some tomatoes. I don't know what's going on this year.
Well, I threw the papers out, but I'll write that down. I'll try to get on that site again. Sometimes I can't get back on them. And he says you use Epsom salts for something, like if something's rotting. Don't you remember when you get cut flowers, they say put an aspirin in the water and they stay?
Yeah, I've heard about that. Well, the funny thing...
I'm going to write this down about the aspirin. And you can just... You wouldn't have to do... Because I don't know how much 600 milligrams, if that's a lot, or, you know, if he's doing a lot of plant. But you can just try one plant lightly. You know, you don't... Anybody tells you to do anything, you don't do the whole thing. You know, you just test it.
Well, the funny thing about this to me is that the plants look healthy. I mean, the plants don't look like they're dying. They're just not sprouting any tomatoes. And I would think by now... It's been about a month and a half since they were planted that you would start to see something. And Mary sent me a picture of her tomato plant yesterday, and they have little sprouts of tomatoes on them. And I don't know what is causing that. I don't know if things are happening late. I don't know what's going on.
Well, did you use the fertilizer? I don't know what kind that you used for tomatoes.
Yep. I do believe fertilizer was used.
Huh. Well... You can sit out on your porch and talk to them.
I don't know. I guess maybe that's the next step. It's
well, the neighbors might call on you. You might see somebody coming after you there. But
well, I don't know. It's a strange thing to watch how this has happened this year, because of all the problems that happened 2 years ago. Now it's just the exact opposite. You know, it's not that they're dying. It's not that anything like that is happening. It's just that they're not producing any tomatoes or anything. But
sometimes if it's just the plant itself, you know, if nothing you're doing that.
Yeah, well, something strange is going on with the daylilies, too, because I've never done anything with those, and they've always kind of behaved in the same way. Well, this year, all of a sudden, it's a very late bloom, and I'm still not even sure that they have fully bloomed, which I'm not sure what that's all about.
Yeah, well, maybe somebody that's around the, you know, plants and flowers, because I never was, you know, had hardly any plants or anything, so, and if I did, I usually watered them too much. They killed them, so.
The only thing I know, the only thing that ended up doing well or is doing well so far, is the flower pot that was stolen and then returned with flowers in it. Now, those flowers are doing okay.
Hmm.
Now, those are fake flowers, though, but they look nice. Yeah. So maybe I can handle those.
Yeah, that's the kind I should have. Because usually I do. I don't know. I just seem to water too much and stuff. But maybe one of the listeners that, you know, are around a lot of plants and flowers and stuff. Maybe they have an idea, but I'll write this down. When I throw out the next set of papers, I'll put it there. But, you know, if you just do a little bit and just see, if you can keep cutting it down and stuff, but and everything. But
I'll work on it. Hopefully something good comes of it.
Yeah, you might be out buying tomatoes.
I guess. I might have to end up with the... I think eventually they'll bloom. Because the plants are not dying. I just think there's something causing a late bloom on these tomato plants, and I think it has something to do with the weather. I think it has something to do... Because almost every day I see overcast or polluted air. We really have had a bad year for that, and I don't know if that's having some kind of impact on the plants or not.
Well, are they in the sun?
Yeah, they're in the sun.
Yeah, I would say this.
But I don't know if the sun being blocked by the polluted air is causing any issue, because some days it is very hazy outside. And,
oh, I know. I like it when it's cloudy, and I work, you know, do anything now. I like it when the sun's under, so, when it's cloudy, so.
Well, in the polluted air, I don't know what in the world has caused this polluted air problem. I understand some of it's from Canada, but I can't imagine that's still going on.
Oh, yes. I think it was yesterday, day before. I think it was headed, was it New York or something? It's, I don't know if it's still burning or it's picked up again, but yeah.
I guess it's just...
They had another warning about that, and I think one day it was hazy light. So I think that's still coming from Canada.
Now, how long has this been going on? About 2 months now, isn't it?
I don't know, but haven't they had millions of acres burnt?
Oh, it's been awful up there.
I don't know if they can stop it and stuff, but I don't know. I didn't... From a little bit I saw, I didn't see any housing. It just showed like forest and stuff. So I don't know how it even got started or anything. But it would pay for them, like certain places, California, to go into certain places and, you know, what do you call it? Log those trees, get them out of there. You know, like in a mile or something, take them out or... There's so many in Hilly, I don't know, but they need to start doing something.
Now, I have not followed it all that closely. Do they know what started this problem up in Canada?
I don't know. I just saw one little thing about it. A plane was flying over, you know, dropping that, I don't know what it is, if it's a powder-like thing or something they drop, I think. And it just said, it was getting worse again, and... It seemed like there was millions of acres that was burnt.
Yeah,
I haven't caught anything except that one little thing was all I saw about it.
It's definitely...
Imagine them, how they are. Oh. Right there in Canada. I mean, if you couldn't breathe and couldn't go outside. And
well, that's a whole other problem. That is a whole other issue here. I mean, even in the United States with this polluted air... People who have allergies and people who have asthma are just having horrible times trying to go outside.
I know, and if you're on some kind of breathing or something and stuff, and, you know, it's really hard on it, so I guess there'll probably be a lot of problems. I don't know, maybe I'll try to find something today, but I haven't heard that much about it. Just that one little thing is all I caught. Uh-oh.
Well, hopefully it all shakes out in the end, but thanks for calling. Maybe I'll try to talk to him tonight, see what happens.
If that doesn't work, try singing.
Singing. I'll have to sing him I'll give him a little concert tonight out there.
Yeah, give him a pep talk. That's what to do.
Well, I'm good at pep talks. I can give a pep talk.
Encourage them.
That's right. Hey, thanks.
Goodbye.
All right. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Well, you know, I don't know. Talking to your plants or giving them a pep talk. Now, I've given many pep talks in life. I could probably do that. Now, singing, that's probably not going to work out. You know, I think if I sang to a plant, the plant would probably keel right on over. First of all, I don't know what I would sing, and second of all, I can't sing very well to begin with, so I don't think that would probably be the best solution. But if anybody has anything to say, we're always glad to hear from you. 740-751-4038. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, rolling around on a ball out here in the yard to call you. You should get right on the ball. How's that for a joke?
I enjoy it.
I'm keeping up with Adam, aren't I?
Well, you know, you got to start, when you tell a joke, you got to start saying, that's funny, isn't it? You got to follow that up with that.
Okay. Hey, you know, getting back to the tomatoes, I've got some out here that I planted, and they're doing well. There's plants they call beefsteak, big girls, big boys, and stuff like that. Those plants are doing good because I've got four. I've got plants. I stick plants here and there and everywhere. They say, in like the lady said there before, on the packages they say in full sun. Well, we haven't got acres and acres like the big tomato growers for Campbell's soup and stuff. So we got to stick them where we can. We get partial sun and this and that. But I'll guarantee you, I've done it for years. And the partial sun and the partial this and that. But you got to have some sunlight, naturally. But I think when you talk about the weather, you think it's the weather. I think you hit the nail on the head because I'm an outdoor guy ever since I've been little. I've always wanted to get outdoors. And when I go to school, I wanted to get out of school, and I wanted to be outdoors. So I've done that all my life, and I found out, yes, this year is particularly amazing to me because we've had, here it is, July, and we got temperatures that's knocking on the door in the 50s. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. It's well, and that's why I say, I think
it's that's what we as people and stuff, you don't want to get out there. You don't sleep out. How many times did you, when you was a kid, you'd say, hey, Mom and Dad, can I sleep out in the backyard with my pumpkin or something like that, you know? Well, it's cold nights, so you got to have that hot, humid weather, and we have not had that hot, humid weather all maybe a couple days here and there, but sporadically through this summer months. And if you don't have that hot, humid weather, look at the farm fields. They're telling you there's nothing with what you planted in your area and the sunlight and this and that. It's just all over. I go by a bean field, and I swear up and down, Scott, those beans are 7 inches tall for 2.5 months now, and they haven't grown. Now, that tells you something there, but I can't blame it on that the smoke film and the sunlight, because when the sun's out, it's good and hot and everything. But I think the cool nights has the difference. So if we don't have daylight and it's cool, why, they're still getting kind of shocked from the dampness and the coldness. But I'll guarantee you, I'll hear you talk and say, hey, anybody out there need any tomatoes? I got some, or whatever else you grow. Why, you can fulfill their desire and just say, hey, I got tomatoes galore.
Well, I do think that's what will happen because, you know, as I say, the weird thing with this is the plants are growing fine. They look healthy. They look good. It's just they're not sprouting anything. And I think the sprout is just coming later than it normally has for maybe the weather's reason. Now, have you ever talked or sang to your plants?
Oh, my goodness, yes. I sing to my wife every day.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, and then I go out and the plants, she gets tired of me, but the plants will still look up at me and they'll just stay there, see? So I sing outdoors a lot, you know, and I sing every day. Yeah, you got to be kind to them, see, and you got to be there to nurture them and feed them and water them and maybe if something's bothering them, like an insect on you, you have to put insect repellent to keep it off of them, and sometimes you have to say, well, you know, they got things, dust your plant a little bit so it's getting eat up, but yours is really healthy and everything, so yours is doing good. They haven't got a disease left like COVID or the flu or nothing like that, so if you're not getting bugs on them and stuff like that, you'll be okay, Scott.
Yeah, well, you know, and the daylilies are a strange one to me because I've had those for 8 years, and I've never seen them behaving like they are this year, you know? They're usually in full bloom.
In the flowers, mine done the same thing. All the flowers, yep, they didn't react and stay real healthy. The peonies and stuff, remember the day they called Decoration Day, you get those. They come out almost right on schedule in that period of time, but they was here and gone they just didn't last that long. It just seemed like they didn't have the longevity as they usually do, yeah.
Yeah, so that was very unfortunate because the daylilies are great, and when they did bloom to the full effect, they look good, but they're still out there, and some of them look like they're even closing back up, and that has never happened.
I've got a plant. That's the one I was going to close out here on in a few minutes. I've got a plant that it's probably an inch and a half or two in diameter. It's straight as a poker stick. It isn't varying tapering too much the taller it gets. So I'll give you an example. If you got a house and you got a spouting, like on a bungalow, low house, and here on the front of the house kind of is lower than the spouting, a little lower than all the way around, but not much. It's about 7-8 foot. This plant has started, and I said, I wonder what this thing is. And it's a weird-looking thing. I've never seen it that great on whole culture. But anyhow, I've watched it, and so when I look out the window as I'm talking here, I could see it grow each morning and stuff like that. And now it's up past the spout. I don't know. It's probably 8-10 inches above the spouting, 7 feet tall. And it isn't wide. It don't get bushy. But I'm going to have a friend of mine get a picture and put that. I don't use that Facebook and stuff like that, but put it on Facebook. So, and maybe your listeners and stuff there, after they see it or something, they can tell me what it is. So that'll be coming up if you don't mind me doing that for you.
No, I think that'll be good.
Hello?
Yeah, that works for me.
Okay. I'll see you later, Scott.
Hey, thanks. Bye-bye. All right, and again, phone lines are open, 740-751-4038. 39 minutes past the hour, talking horticulture this morning, and plants, and vegetables, and things that are growing this year. Are you having any success? Are things going differently than they have in past years? Give us a buzz. We'd love to hear from you, 740-751-4038. You know, and it may have nothing to do what's been going on up in Canada, but I know that polluted air certainly cannot be good for people in general. But I don't know if people pay attention to that. I really don't know. It's certainly not the number one story on the news every night. So we'll see what happens. Let's see here. Well, we got the Friday show coming up this week. We're all excited about that. Friday night, 8:15 to 10 p.m., Carrington Nelson, Matt Morgan, Sean Kraft, and myself, all looking forward to that. We had a lot of fun with it last week, and I think we're going to have a lot of fun with it this week. Of course, last week we had the return of Pastor Craig and his show, and it will be back again this Friday morning, 11:15 a.m. to 12 p.m., and then 12:15 p.m. until 1 p.m., we'll have the exchange with Pastor Craig and Matt Morgan and myself. We had a great time with that last week, so we should have another great week with that programming on Friday. It's nice to have Pastor Craig back, and as I said, somebody did approach me the other day and said, is the show that Pastor Craig is doing on Friday similar to the one that he used to do on Sunday? And my understanding is no, especially from what I heard last week. It was basically a current events type of a show. What's going on in the community? What's going on at the palace? What kind of festivals are going on? You know, really giving people an update to what's going on in their community. And that's a show that I think we really all can benefit from. And I know there are going to be guests on that show from time to time. So look forward to that. Every Friday from 11:15 a.m. to 12 p.m. So that's our new lineup on Friday morning. I'll be on live, as I always am, from 8:15 to 9 a.m. And then Pastor Whitaker from 9:15 until 10. And then I'll be back on from 10:15 until 11. And then we'll have Pastor Craig and his new show from 11:15 a.m. to 12. And then from 12:15 to 1, it's Pastor Craig, Matt Morgan, and myself with the new Exchange Club. And then Friday night, it's Carrington, Matt, Sean, and myself. 8:15 to 10 p.m. A lot of action around here on Fridays. Now, we were talking about top 10 lists. Now, last week we had an interesting top 10 list. And yesterday I got two top 10 lists from our friend Bob Welsh in Columbus, Ohio. So we are prepared for Friday. We have two new top 10 lists. Now, I don't know if we'll do one in the morning and one at night. I'm not exactly sure how we'll do it at this point, but we do have two brand new top 10 lists for Friday. And we're also going to try to get the drum roll under control. Because last week, I think everybody heard the top 10 list, but the drum roll was a little overpowering. So we're going to try to lower the drum roll down a little bit when we do the top 10 list on Friday night, and possibly one on Friday morning. Friday morning, Friday afternoon. So stay tuned for that. Two new top 10 lists on Friday. Now, there was a story in the paper today. Well, you know, I always say that, but I really don't know if it was in the paper or not. I just saw it online where something went on. I didn't even have a chance to read the whole article, but something went on celebrating the 100th anniversary of the death of President Harding, which is coming up on August the 2nd. And, you know, I'll tell you something. I really don't understand. I'm glad we're celebrating it because that is a big thing. But I'm not really sure why we're celebrating it early. I mean, this is July the 19th, and that probably had to happen a couple days ago. And there certainly wasn't much publicity around it. And the centennial of his death, I believe, is August the 2nd. So I'm not really sure why it was celebrated early. Maybe the article said. Did anybody read this article? Is it in the paper today? About the centennial of Harding's death coming up on August the 2nd. What did they do? Did they lay a wreath? Did they do some kind of reading? Did they do a proclamation? Does anybody know what happened with that? I know there's something in the paper today. 740-751-4038. And I should say again that I really don't know if it's in the paper today. I know that it was in the online edition today, which I don't know how closely any longer that coincides with the actual newspaper itself. But that's the way it is. So if anybody has the story of what exactly was going on, oh, it looks like something was going on at the Harding Memorial. So it puts me in the idea that maybe they were laying a wreath or something, but I don't know, again, why they did it so early, because the anniversary is not until August the 2nd. And, of course, we're going to start pushing the dog collar, the $5,000 reward for Lottie Boy's dog collar, coming up next week, because for that seven-day period, from July the 26th through August the 2nd, if you return the dog collar, you could get $5,000. So that's a big deal, in my opinion. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott. Calling you back. I interrupted you there.
Oh, no problem. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just talking. You heard you talking about Harding. And one thing that come up, I don't know when it was, 2 days ago or a week ago or whatever, that impressed me about the golden dog collar of Lottie Boy, is that correct?
Right.
Then after a couple callers, which that's the valuable thing of your show, and it impressed me that I understand that you said that the collar wasn't gold, it was just a collar with a little plate saying Lottie Boy, is that correct?
Right, just a gold-plated collar that said Lottie Boy, yeah.
I was impressed of about the whole time that started till clear up till now, and there's a segment in this month that there's going to be maybe more money added, or maybe if you like to contribute to more money added to bring that collar back. I thought, what a mouth. Is that being just a little plate? And back in that era of the time, would the president put a real gold little nameplate on a leather collar and then be in the museum, I could say yes. But what significant value would, was that real gold plated, or was that a gold plated and not a real piece of gold that did he write that in cursive, or was it in print for identification?
It was in print. Now, to be honest with you, I can't remember if somebody gave the dog collar to the president. I can't remember if it came with the dog, because I know the dog was
okay,
a gift.
That wasn't President Harding's doing to have that, I mean, back in history of saying, oh, yeah, he had that, and how many dogs did he have during his presidency? He wasn't president that long, but, you know, dogs, they have two or three people have whatever. They got to have a dog kennel license if they have over 10, I think. Now, I've got 7 dogs out here myself, and I think there's more, 15, and I haven't got any. Kennel license. I wonder what they'd do to me, Scott.
I don't think they would do much, but I just...
You know what they said? They said, well, you better get them or you're going to get arrested or this or that. And I said, well, you know, I said, they know where I live, and I said, they know how many dogs, maybe how many dogs I got, and they haven't done nothing yet. And they'd say, well, what breed of dog have you got? And I said, does that make a difference? And they said, oh, no, really, we're just wondering how many you had, Ted? And I said, well, the breed is coyote. They said, coyote, you got that many out your place? Well, I said, yeah, they run around here all the time. I feed them once in a while. And they said, oh, my goodness. I said, well, what's wrong? And they said, oh, boy, those are dangerous. I said, well, I don't have to get a kennel license for them. So that was my joke of the day. Adam, turn them on, buddy. I'll see you later, Scott.
See you. Bye-bye. Yeah, you know, honestly, the whole dog collar thing, the story is very interesting. The dog, I believe, was a gift, and off the top of my head right now, I cannot remember exactly where it was a gift from or whom it was a gift from. But I think the collar came with the dog. But it was a popular item. That's why it's such an interesting thing. The dog collar used to be a very popular item for kids who would visit the Harding home, and it's been gone for over 11 years now, and we would like to see it returned, and here we are, $5,000 reward, a guarantee from the county prosecutor and the city police chief that nobody will be prosecuted or arrested in this matter, and a 7-day window coming up here, July 26th through August the 2nd, in which you can return that dog collar to the radio station and get a $5,000 reward. So there you go, 740-751-4038. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going good. So I have the answer for you on the wreath laying Saturday, which is like, you know, still 3 weeks before the 100th anniversary.
Oh, so it happened on Saturday.
Yes, it happened on July 15th. That was Saturday. And they had a symposium at the Harding Library, I believe it was, a symposium. And the man that was there Friday night and Saturday was Pete Souza, who was official White House photographer for Ronald Reagan, and he was the official White House photographer for Barack Obama. And during Obama's time, Pete Souza spent 25,000 hours in the Oval Office, which makes him the individual who has spent more time in the Oval Office than any other person. And as part of this symposium at the Harding Library, where they were, you know, had this photographer, famous photographer, showing his time with the presidents, they tied the wreath laying ceremony in there Saturday morning. That was one part of the symposium. Now, honestly, I don't really see the connection between the two, but I guess maybe just as part of bringing this guy in, they wanted to include that.
You know, that's very interesting to know. And heaven knows, I don't want to tell anybody how to run their show. But two things strike me odd about that, one of which is what you just said. I'm not sure what the connection is, and the fact that we were 17 days early, but before the actual date, which is August the 2nd, that the president died. But the other thing that's odd to me about that is, now, again, I don't want to knock the local newspaper. They just happen to be the outlet now that is publishing this stuff. But wouldn't you want to publish the idea that that was going to happen rather than 4 or 5 days after it happened, that here it happened?
Well, yeah, and quite honestly, I fault more than one person for not doing very good publicity, because I, excuse me, this was one of my events that I had on my show Friday.
Oh, good.
Was this symposium Friday and Saturday. But even the official information coming from the Harding people and coming from the Visitors Bureau, they said it was a week-long ceremony, but they didn't tell where it was, what it was for. All they did was say, you know, wreath-laying ceremony at 11, workshops with Pete Souza in the afternoon, and a dinner that night with the keynote speaker. But there were no details given. I mean, I had no idea that it was a wreath-laying ceremony for Harding.
You know, I'll tell you a little story, and I'll condense this, because this is what I've always found with President Harding. The people even here in Marion have a very... I mean, we want to hold President Harding up high. We've got schools named for him. We've got the museum. We've got all these things. But I don't know if I've ever told this story on the air. I probably have, but this kind of typifies what we're going through now. Years ago, when the Harding Affair book came out, now this is more than probably 15 years ago now, I took that to OSU, because the author of that book, Jim Robinault, wanted to drop the book in Marion. And basically it was the book, this is before we knew that he had any grandchildren or anything like that, but the book essentially was that, yes, he had an affair with Carrie Phillips, and yes, the notes were going to be published in there, but basically that she may have been a German spy, and President Harding might have known about it. So he wanted to have this book signing here in Marion to launch the book, because it's President Harding's city. And I remember I went to Ohio State at the time. Now, the people who set this up are long gone, so we can't blame anybody at Ohio State now. But I remember going to them, and I said, well, let's do the book drop here. And they said, okay, but let's go to the small room. Let's go to the Guthrie room. We won't use the auditorium. And we certainly can't charge admission for this. And you know, let's order maybe 20 or 30 books, and we'll see how it goes, and we're probably going to have some left. And we did a little thing up there. And I introduced Jim, and he and I had a conversation. And I'll never forget, it was a weeknight, like a Thursday night. And I'm up there, and the room, the Guthrie room, if anybody's been in it, is all windows. And I'm looking, and I am seeing these people come toward the room, the parking lot just filling up. And it ended up, we not only sat everybody in that room, we had people along the edges of the room, and Jim not only sold out, at that time Walden's was here in town, they sold out, you couldn't get that book in town, and there was a waiting list. So my belief is that people in Marion, for some reason, have always discounted the interest in President Harding, so I think they don't publish things like this, and they probably don't think that the anniversary is a big deal. And I think that's been one of the catches with the dog collar, is that, you know, yes, they did run a story about the $5,000 reward, but they never said that the person would not be prosecuted. They never said that the police chief would not arrest them, which I think is a big part of that story. I think there's just a big discounting of President Harding.
Well, you know, as someone who hasn't been around for very long in the Marion area, that's one thing that I've kind of noticed really in the, you know, few years that I have been coming around, is it seems like, you know, for being his hometown, and he had the newspaper here and all that kind of stuff, there seems to be a general lack of interest or kind of a ho-hum about that President Harding's from Marion.
Well, you just said it yourself. I mean, he started the Marion Star. He's closely associated with it. There was even a book written about his connection as a newspaper editor. And here his own newspaper, all these years later, is covering things late. Now, again, I understand they're down to one reporter. I get that. But that's not exactly breaking news that they were going to have this wreath-laying ceremony. And nothing in there beforehand about it. I'm really confused, and I don't know if they are having anything on August the 2nd. I imagine they wouldn't do another wreath-laying ceremony.
Well, so far in my searching around town and the internet and places like that, I haven't found anything coming up on, you know, in August at all.
Well, the lucky thing is, I mean, I know we're going to do something over the air that morning to commemorate it, and we've got some guests that morning, so we'll do it in our way, and obviously we have this dog collar thing going on. But it's kind of sad to me that the people who are in charge and paid to be in charge of his legacy, I don't know what they're doing. I don't know. I mean, they'll do something. They've got to do something, I would imagine. Now, even if it's just over at the home or the museum, I assume they'll do something. But will people know? That's the question.
Right. And, you know, one last thought on that is really for the 100th anniversary, the centennial of his death, I'm really surprised that it's not a big deal. I mean, it's not the city, you know, celebrating or whatever, remembering. It just kind of seems to be, quite honestly, if you know, people weren't paying attention, I imagine the average person wouldn't even realize that the 100th centennial was coming up.
I think we'll have to talk about this on Friday during the exchange. I think this is a very important subject as we approach the centennial.
Yeah, because it baffles me, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Well, hey, thanks, Pastor.
Talk to you later.
All right. All right. Well, we're down to 15 seconds, so if you want to talk about this, hold your peace. Not forever hold your peace, but hold your peace until we take our break here. We'll be back in 15 minutes. We've got news and weather, and we'll be back right after this. Don't you dare go anywhere. You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio. For guests like the 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow.
You've had so many interesting people on here. I'm always amazed at who you have.
Well, you have been such a pal.